Good morning, church. Are you glad to be here this morning? I'm glad to be here. Let us pray, please. Father, we want to thank you for this moment. I pray, Lord, that you take preeminence at this moment as I speak. Give me the utterance, Lord, that your word might be delivered to your people. And that as we live here, we'll be happy that we've been with you today. Be exalted in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Starting from verse 27. Romans 3, 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This morning, our topic is the implications of justifications. The implications of justification. I have a definition that I've given here that justification is a legal act on God's part to impute the righteousness of Jesus to us once we have accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. We can also say that justification puts us into alignment with God. Furthermore, we can also say that justification is God seeing us as just as if we have not sinned. God seeing you, seeing me as if I have not sinned. Because Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When he says all, it means all. It means you. It means me. That I have sinned and that I have come short of the glory of God. Because I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I am done for. But it also tells us in the same Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ. Not through my works, not through your works, not any good thing you have done. None of those can merit you justification. None of those can merit me justification. Therefore, why should you boast? So, number one point there is all boasting is excluded. According to verses 27 and 28, all boasting is excluded. You cannot boast of your salvation. I cannot boast of my salvation because I did not do anything to merit that. You did not do anything to merit your salvation. So Paul is saying that justification is by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. Lest any believer claim to be better than others. It is a free gift through the grace of God. So that everyone ought to remove pride in himself or herself for attaining it through self-effort. So your self-effort cannot merit you salvation. My self-effort cannot merit me salvation. If it can merit me my salvation, there was no reason for Christ to come to die. But it's because it cannot merit me salvation. It cannot merit you salvation. That's why Christ has to come to die for your sin and for my sin. That question then says, the question is, where then is the boasting? Verse 27a. 27a. Where then is boasting? Boasting is self-exaltation, pride, fully bragging on oneself. It's in self-merit rather than God and His grace. So, you don't merit it. I don't merit it. We should have the attitude of Christ as expressed in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And there, we are told, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus humbled himself. So you should humble yourself. I should humble myself because of the salvation I have. I did not work for it. You did not work for it. So you shouldn't be proud of your salvation. Those who don't have salvation, you should be pitying them because they are lost. But you have a responsibility. That responsibility is getting the gospel across to them so that they will have the same thing you have. You have accepted Christ. You saw yourself as a sinner, that you cannot save yourself. You asked Christ to come into your life. And when he came into your life, you became a child of God. You shouldn't boast of that salvation you have. It should humble you to do exploit for the master, to go out and reach out to others who are lost so that they will at the same time become children of God. The answer to 27a, all boasting is excluded. It is the idea of slamming shut a door, preventing someone from gaining entrance into a house. All boasting is excluded. It is closing the door on any boasting about our part in salvation. You don't have any part in your salvation. I don't have any part in my salvation. So you have to slam that door close. When you slam the door close, when you lock it, anybody who is knocking at the door and you've not opened, that person will not come in. So you did not merit that salvation you have. I did not merit it. So Paul went further to explain. By what kind of law? Of works? Verse 27. The law in verse 27 is not referring to Mosaic law, but rather to a governing principle. The law of faith is talking about the principle by which God operates in saving sinners. God has a principle to save you, to save me from all my sins. And that principle is by faith and faith alone. It's by faith and faith alone. God operates in salvation not by a works basis, but exclusively by grace. It is through the substitutionary death of Christ that we are all saved. And Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all my righteousness, all your righteousness, they are like filthy rags before God. Therefore, you should not boast of your salvation. I shouldn't boast of my salvation. And little wonder, we are told in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that Jesus is the only way for salvation to come to man. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name. Can you be saved? Can I be saved? It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should not boast of your salvation. I should not boast of my salvation. And Paul also tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that by grace you've been saved, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. You cannot boast of your salvation. I cannot boast of it. It is given to you free of charge. When something is free, it means it's free. If you have paid for it, it's not free anymore. But in this case, your salvation is free. But it costs somebody his life to set you free. It costs Christ his life to set you free, to set me free. So that I am saved today, it's not of my works, it's not of my merit. It is only the merit that came to me through Jesus Christ. He paid for it. And the Bible tells us that Christ went to the slave market of sin to deliver me, to set me free. That is agariazo in Greek. That Christ went to the slave market of sin to draw me, to pull me back so that I will not continue to be in my sin, so that you will not continue to be in your sin. It cost him his life. It did not cost you anything. So you shouldn't boast of your salvation. I shouldn't boast of my salvation. Little wonder our brother Martin Luther was able to emphasize so much about these five solas we know in the about the Bible. Sola fide, sola scriptura, sola gratias, solus Christus, and soli Deo gloria. The five solas, that means that all these are free of charge. The grace you receive is free. The scripture you received is free. Even the grace that I received, Christ that I received, they are all free of charge. It did not cost me anything. And God did all this for you and for me, for his own glory. Little wonder, we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So whatever you are doing, you should be doing it to the glory of God. Whatever I'm doing, it should be to the glory of God. You should not glorify yourself that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It's now your own works. It's not your works, my brother. It's not your works, my sister. You were given freely, you received. Therefore, you should not boast of that. And our brother Luther went further in 1517 to put his 95 theses on that door to tell the Germans that he has received free grace. He was imprisoned for his faith, but thanks be to God that his imprisonment brought something good to the whole world, and especially to the Germans at that time. It was when he was in prison that he was able to write the September Bible of 1522. September Bible of 1522 that was written in German. Prior to that time, they were reading the Bible in Latin. But while he was in prison, he was able to write the September Bible that was released in 1522. And the people were able to read the Bible in the language of the heart, in their own vernacular. So, my brother, my sister, when you are reading the Bible today, remember, it has cost many people their lives to read or interpret the Bible or to translate the Bible into various languages. That reminds me about the ministry that we are doing. Part of what we started, when we started the ministry to do is to educate children, establish church, and also translate the Bible into various Nigerian languages. We have over 500 languages in Nigeria. Out of the 500 languages, we don't have up to 25 languages that have the Bible in their language groups. I used to tell people that the Tower of Babel happened in Nigeria because of those many languages. And we need to do some work. That we have been able to establish church, been able to establish schools, but we've not been able to establish a printing press to
translate the Bible into various Nigerian languages. My second master's degree was in Bible translation, but I have not used it for that purpose. But one day, by God's grace, we'll be able to do that. One day, we'll be able to do that, to translate the Bible into various Nigerian languages. God willing, we're going to do it. Be praying for us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for what you've been doing. And we will continue to reach those people with the word of God. Martin Luther did it in Germany. He translated the Bible in German. In German, in order to reach his own people. We can also translate in various Nigerian languages to reach them. Amen. So, number three, all distinctions are removed. Verses 29 to 30. What does it say there? It says, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? So, the second implication is that all distinctions are removed. If justification by faith alone is true, then there can be no classes or levels of believers. No classes or levels of believers. All who are justified are equally justified. No one is more justified than another. All believers are imputed with the same righteousness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there are no distinction between those who put their trust in Christ. If you put your trust in Christ, if I put my trust in Christ, we are of the same level. The Jews who were parading themselves, puffing themselves up, that because they were circumcised, no way, Jose, should they be parading themselves. We are all equal, Jew or Gentile. The Jews were saved by grace. The Gentiles were saved by grace. And it is that category that we all fall into, being saved by grace alone, not by works, not by priority of Jew or Gentile. All of us come to the grace of God through Christ, not by any merit. The question, Paul begins with a question, or is God the God of Jews only? So the answer, Paul answered his question with another question, is he the God of Gentiles also? That means that God is justifying the Gentiles in the same way as he was justifying the Jews in matters of salvation. And he justified them by faith alone. The Jews and Gentiles are justified by faith alone. Nothing more, nothing less. So, no matter your color, whether you are white, green, purple, or red, whatever color you are justified the same way. So, we are told here that Jew or Gentile, the salvation you got is from Christ and is on faith alone. But do you know what? Hoarding of the gospel for oneself. That's the next point there. Jonah was a Jew, and God called him for a purpose, to go and preach to the Gentiles, the people of Nineveh. But Jonah ran away from the gospel that God had called him to come and preach. He ran away thinking that he can outrun God. Do we sometimes think about that? That we sometimes we think that we can outsmart God. We cannot. He tried to run, but God told him, Jonah, I'm the creator of the universe. You cannot run away. Jonah tried to run. God set up a trap for him. The trap was the whale or the big fish. And the big fish opened his mouth and gobbled him in and closed it. And he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. How many people can remain in the belly of a fish for one day and be alive? Nobody. But it's because of God's miracle That's why Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and was still alive. And you know what? At the end, God wanted him to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. And when he got there, but before he got there, he was saying, God, I know you are a merciful God. You're going to save those enemies of ours, the Gentiles. I don't want them to be saved. But God said, I want you to go. Preach to them. I want them to be saved. And he went by force. And the people they received the gospel and they were saved. But before going to preach also, God showed him a little example. The plant he planted to shade him. And he made that plant to die. And he started complaining. God, how can you make this plant to die up this way? But God showed him, I am the Almighty God. I can do what I want to do at any point in time. Therefore, you cannot ask me what I'm doing. So if God is calling you to send you somewhere, don't run anymore. Don't run anymore. He may be here in Long Beach, maybe Anaheim, maybe wherever, France, Ethiopia, Nigeria, wherever it is that God wants you to go and do work for him, don't run anymore, because he can send you anywhere he wants, just like he sent Jonah. Jonah wanted to hoard the gospel, but God told him, no way can you hoard the gospel. I am the God of the Jews and the Gentiles. Therefore, you must do what I want you to do. So no hoarding. The chief implication of justification is that God has a heart for the world. He desires to reach the world with the saving message of justification by faith. That's what God wants to do, by faith alone. People need to receive the gospel. They need to receive the message by faith alone. You should be saved. People should be saved. Don't hoard it. Don't hoard it anymore. Be open to God to use you so that you can go out and spread the gospel to all mankind. He's able to do it. Remember what he wants you to do. He wants your availability. Make yourself available and God will use you. But when you continue to run away like Jonah, but he may force you finally, but let the will of God be done in your life. Don't run away anymore. The explanation, 3 verse 30. Paul explains that since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith, this refers to the Jews who have been circumcised. A Jew is justified by faith alone. Likewise, the uncircumcised, the Gentile. So, what does Deuteronomy 6:4 tell us? It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We have one God, one mediator between man and God, the man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus also told us in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. So you and I, we should know that. Jesus and his Father are one. Therefore, it is only through him that salvation can get to you, can get to me, can get to other people who are around us who have not heard the gospel. Do not hoard the gospel anymore. One body of Christ. All distinctions are removed. Jew and Gentile are one in Christ. At the cross, Jesus tore down the dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile, according to Ephesians 2:10-16. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those themselves, the circumcision. Remember that at that
You were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. We were far away, but we have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. To him you owe all the glory, all the honor. He has paid the price, and therefore you should not claim any victory to yourself. You have nothing to claim about. It's only to Jesus. As one body of Christ, we are one body of Christ, whether Jew or Gentile. As long as you have accepted Christ, we are bodies of Christ. And therefore, you shouldn't claim that in heaven there will be neither Alliance Church, Lutheran Church, Baptist Church, Presbyterian Church, the Church of God in Christ, or any other name of any church. In heaven will be only what? The Church of God. And remember, the Church of God is Ecclesia. Ecclesia means the called out ones. You have been called out of darkness and placed into God's marvelous light. You are called out one. We are the body of Christ. No matter where you come from, you are a called out one. You were in darkness, and God called you out of that darkness and placed you in God's marvelous light and wants you to go and shine. And the Bible also says that you are the light of God. I mean, the light of the world. And being the light of the world, you have to go and shine. Any light that you lit, if you lit a candle or a lamp and hide it, you are not doing the favor to yourself or to people around you. You have to put it on a bushel where it will be shining. And that's why Christmas is coming. You see, both unbelievers and believers, they put on light, but they don't know what they are doing. Many of them don't know, but they are saying that Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world because I'm a Christian. Can you proudly say that you are a light to the world, to those who are in darkness? Because we are one in Christ. We are one in Christ. Brethren, let's go and shine as light because we are one in Christ. Number 4, the law is established by chapter 3, verse 31. The third implication of justification by faith is that the law is established as found in verse 31. The question, do we then nullify the law through faith? Verse 31, Paul asked, is the law now nullified? If we are justified apart from the law, the answer, nullify means to make of no effect or to cause to cease. Paul answers the question, may it never be. May it never be that you are going to nullify the law, that I'm going to nullify the law. The law is only a schoolmaster that leads us to where we should be, and that is at the feet of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid it all. So we are to shine as light wherever we find ourselves. The law has not been nullified, but we are to be keeping more of the laws through the love of Christ. But through our self-effort, no one is able to keep the Ten Commandments. But through the grace of God, you are able to keep more than the Ten Commandments because you are not acting on your own self anymore. You are acting through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you and I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and that we shall be witnesses to him, starting from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Your own Jerusalem may be here
in Long Beach, maybe wherever you live, whichever city, your community where you are, or where you are working, that may be your community, to be a living witness to those over there. Shine as light, because you have been delivered from darkness and placed into God's marvelous light. Do not hide your identity anymore. You are a child of God. You are a candidate unto heaven. You are a Christian, a Christ-like fellow. Do you know that? No quality is more than that, that you are somebody like Christ. You are somebody like Christ, a Christ-like fellow, a Christian, because you have accepted Christ as a Lord and personal Savior. Therefore, don't hide anymore. Go and serve the Master. See, the explanation. Justification does not nullify the proper use of the moral law. We establish the law, verse 31, establish or uphold, in Greek means to cause something or someone to stand. So you are now standing on the premise that Jesus died for your sin, for my sin, that I may go out, that you may go out and tell others that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Don't hide your identity anymore. Go and be disciples of all nations. Go and be ambassadors of Christ. As we were told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that you are ambassadors of Christ, and that God is now begging you, calling you to go and reconcile others with God. That's a responsibility that God has given you. Don't run away from it anymore. Go and do it, and you'll be blessed. The law is used in four different ways in Romans chapter 3. The law refers to the entire Old Testament, verse 19. And the law refers to the first five books of the Bible, verse 21. And the law is used as the operating principle, verses 27 to 28. The principle that you and I are saved by grace alone, not by our works. Your works cannot save you. My works cannot save me. That's the principle that God has established, that you are saved by grace alone. Nothing more, nothing less. Don't add anything to it. And James talked about that in the epistle of James, that you have to show your faith by your works. Show it. That you are a child of God, show it by your works. Don't hide it. That people may know that you are a child of God. You don't hide your faith. Go. The law is used to refer to the moral laws of keeping out of the commandments. That's another way, according to verse 20, 27, 28, and 31. Then, what are the implications of justification? The implications of justification by faith is that we are still obligated to obey the moral commands of God. Justification does not mean that we can live anyhow we want. You cannot live anyhow you want because you are justified. Then, because you are justified, then you continue sinning. And that's why Paul says, "May ignato, may it never be that because you are saved by grace, then you continue to live anywhere how you like." No. You have to live according to the standard of a child of God, because you are a child of God. Filthy things, filthy life will not be a part of you. You are a child of God. You are a candidate unto heaven. Said, no filthy words, no filthy matters will come out of you because you're a child of God. Don't live like unbelievers. Remember, unbelievers, they wallow in sin. They wallow in sin from one sin to the other. They don't care because that is part of their life.
But as a child of God, you don't live that way, because you, the Spirit of God is in you, and therefore you are living like a child of God, a candidate unto heaven. But peradventure, you, as a child of God, you fall into sin. We have Christ Jesus as our advocate to intercede for us, according to 2 John chapter 2, verse 1. That if you fall into sin, that you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, who is able to intercede. But because you're a child of God, you should not continue sinning, because there's grace. You continue sinning. No. You need to run away from that. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave of sin. Romans 7, 12 and 14. That's what our brother Paul tells us in Romans 7, 12 and 14. Then, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? The three implications that Paul talks about, justification by faith, are: we are justified by faith alone, and it should produce humility within us. The doctrine leaves no room for boasting. C, we should remove all barriers and all distinctions, because we are all justified in the same way and brought into the same kingdom. You are brought into the same kingdom of God by faith alone, by you submitting to the price that Christ paid on the cross. And when he paid it, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai, that it is finished. Your sin questions in this life are finished. You don't have to do any further work. Christ paid the price, and therefore it's finished. You stand on that premise that Jesus paid the price for your sin and for my sin, and therefore you are going into heaven. I am going into heaven because I accepted the finished work of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you this moment, because your word has gone out. You have told us that you are justifying us by faith alone, not by our own works, not by anything that we have done that we think we merit our salvation. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we are happy to be called your own children. We are happy to be associated with your Son, Jesus. We are happy that we are going to heaven, where you have prepared for us. And because you have prepared a place for us, and we know that heaven is a prepared place for the prepared people, therefore, take all the glory, take all the honor, for justifying us today as your own children. In Jesus' name, amen.